You sensed it. Now the government confirms food prices went up sharply this spring.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a look at jobs, the economy, and markets as Wall Street trading gets underway here. There is news today that prices we paid at the retail level rose the most in more than a year. The consumer price index moved up 0.4% in May. On Tuesdays, we get help parsing the economic zeitgeist from Julie Niemann, analyst at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Hiya, Julie.
Morning, David.
You know, it felt like prices were going up. Now there's the government data. What is this, food prices spiking?
Commodities and food went up, medical went up, fuel went up. But the way the Fed measures inflation, it's still within their range. It's about 1.5% to 2%, but the pain is going to be at the consumer level.
I'm going to ask you about the Fed in just a second, but the real estate market, we also learned this morning from some new data, is not roaring back to life.
Well, there's no joy here, and it looks like the pent-up demand that was supposedly from a cold winter really isn't happening. And it's not really because, you know, the usual variety of things, job insecurity, credit still is in very bad shape, income stagnation. What it really comes down to is mortgages are harder to get. Only the jumbo loans are really getting done, and those are for rich people. So bottom line is, harder to get mortgages. Banks are only lending to those who can afford it.
Richer people. Now, the Federal Reserve, our central bankers, meet tomorrow. They'll see more of this inflation, and they're not going to jack up interest rates tomorrow. But do you think it'll bias them more toward higher interest rates ahead?
No, I think Janet Yellen and the gang will stay the course. But I think you will hear some intoning aversion of irrational exuberance in the markets. In other words, start to be concerned about what the stock market is doing and not wanting to encourage speculation. But, of course, nothing will be done on that level. Simply utterings.
Julie Niemann at Smith Moore & Company, thank you so much.
You bet.
23 and a half minutes into the trading day. Let's check the numbers. See, the Dow is down 8 points to 16,773. The S&P 500 is down 2 points. That's a little over 0.1%. NASDAQ Composite Index is up 0.2%. Apple has thrown in the towel after a long fight and has reached a tentative settlement in the case of allegedly fixing the prices of electronic books. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
Apple is accused of teaming up with five big publishers, including Penguin Group and Simon & Schuster, to set ebook prices just before it introduced the iPad in 2010. The terms of the settlement haven't been disclosed, but the original suit against Apple was for $840 million, three times the $280 million Apple allegedly made overcharging customers for ebooks.
One of the difficulties with a settlement is it can always be written off as part of doing business.
Sam Ford is the author of Spreadable Media. He says the real issue is whether or not suits like this result in competition for giants like Apple and Amazon.
The bigger victory here, I hope, is a raised awareness among customers as to what trade-offs they might be making for some of the conveniences these major retailers provide.
The settlement still depends on an appeal Apple made to the price-fixing accusations. The company still hasn't admitted any wrongdoing. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is a nonprofit, listener-supported service. A gift from you, yes, you if you can, in any amount, helps the Marketplace crew keep telling the money stories behind the news of the day. Help us end the budget year in a strong position by making a gift at marketplace.org by June 30th, if you could. We now know what Argentina's president thinks about the U.S. Supreme Court decision yesterday not to hear her country's appeal about paying back $1.5 billion that international investors think is still owed. Argentina defaulted on its government debts back in 2001, and a U.S. judge now has the authority to block Argentina's other payments to creditors unless it ponies up the disputed sums. The BBC's Russell Padmore is following all this from London. Good morning, Russell.
Morning to you, David.
So we see here the president of Argentina thinks the global financial and legal systems are practicing, what was the word she used, extortion when it comes to Argentina.
Back in 2001, Argentina defaulted on its debts. Ever since then, the country has been trying to reach agreements with various bondholders to pay back some of that debt. Now, most went along with the deal. The trouble is, some hedge funds didn't, and those hedge funds still want paying in full. And the president of Argentina, Cristina Kirchner, has effectively called some of these hedge funds vulture funds trying to destroy her country. We are looking in a rather awful situation. The clock's ticking. Will Argentina default?
It actually could default again because of this.
Yes, it could actually lead to that. The clock's ticking, as I say. We're seeing shares tumbling in Buenos Aires. The country's currency, the peso, has tumbled against the US dollar. And ultimately, what Argentina has been trying to do, David, is get those international investors back on side. And this deal is key to that.
Now, briefly here, the overriding irony is that the Argentine economy has been doing fairly well since its default over a dozen years ago.
Yes, the country has been doing well domestically with its economy, but it does need to reassure foreign investors that its debt problems are a thing of the past. And this decision from the US Supreme Court has really put a lot of that back in the balance again. Argentina has 2 weeks to decide. Is it going to somehow try to reach a deal again, or will the country do what the president seems to be threatening to do, default on all of its debts?
Russell Padmore, BBC in London, thank you very much.
David, thank you.
And the Freedom of Information website Muckrock requested and got an 83-page FBI guide to social media that's a handy glossary of online shorthand so that some of the more crusty FBI agents can know what the digerati are trying to say. A troll is defined helpfully as a deliberately provocative message board user, but you knew that. TLDR means too long didn't read. Just a personal note about that. It's my experience that the important stuff they don't want you to read is often hidden at the bottom of a long document. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.